Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, we've got an interesting show, as we talked about at the top of the hour today, and we've got Jamie Gollum back with us today, Managing Director, Tax and Estate Planning at CIBC Financial Planning and Advice. Okay, there's been a lot of tax changes, particularly around small business.
Yeah, <laughs> and
it's complicated, and we're getting to the end of this year, and there's some things that people need to be aware of, business owners need to be aware of and need to be doing in order to avoid any what could be some very serious tax implications.
Correct.
Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the tax changes that have come into effect. Maybe just give us a quick rundown for our listeners that own businesses, and then we can talk about some of the strategies to perhaps minimize some of the impact.
Absolutely. So if you recall back, not this summer, but last summer, there were three major changes announced to the taxation of private companies. The first one is the restriction to do income sprinkling, where business owners would pay dividends out to various family members who were in lower tax brackets and save some taxes. That's now in effect for 2018. You can no longer do that with some exceptions. The second one was the passive income limitation, which says that if you're a small business owner and you earn more than $50,000 a year in passive investment income inside of your corporation, then you can lose access to the small business rate starting next year. So that's for 2019 based on 2018 income. There was a third change regarding surplus stripping and converting income to capital gains, but that didn't go through. So we really have two major changes, one for 2018 and one coming in on January 1st, 2019, that could affect some small business owners.
Now, you and Debbie Pearl-Weinberg put out a report, a CCPC tax planning for passive income, and you came up with five terrific strategies that business owners need to be thinking about as a way to potentially shelter themselves or protect themselves from some of these tax changes. Why don't we walk through them one by one? The RRSP and TFSA contributions, why don't you walk us through that?
Absolutely. So we're focusing primarily on the second change, which comes into play next year, which is based on the prior year's investment income. What we're trying to do with this strategy is reduce the investment income inside of your corporation to below $50,000 so we don't lose the small business rate. So first idea, make an RSP or TFSA contribution. We are advising business owners, and in almost every scenario, they should be paying themselves enough money every year so that they can make an RSP contribution and a TFSA contribution. So not only will the money grow tax-free inside those plans, but it allows you to take money out of the corporation, which otherwise would earn passive investment income. So really a double benefit there for RSPs and TFSAs for business owners.
All right, this one, the second one's going to catch people's attention when I say it, tax-free withdrawals. Tell us about that.
So in many cases, there can be corporations that have balances, either in a shareholder loan account that can be paid back to the shareholder on a tax-free basis. So it's a way to repatriate money tax-free back to the shareholder, taking money out of the company that otherwise is earning passive income. The other thing that you could look at is the balance in the capital dividend account. If the corporation received proceeds from a life insurance policy, which are non-taxable, or the non-taxable portion of a capital gain, because gains are only 50% taxable, that builds up a balance in the capital dividend account. The shareholder can then pay herself a tax-free capital dividend. Again, it's tax-free, but it also removes assets from the corporation that otherwise might be accumulating and earning passive investment income.
And then that money could go to a TFSA or an RSP contribution, whatever, right? You can stack
whatever you want.
Stack them, you bet. Okay.
So there was also one more that you talked about in the article was about the investment strategy, the type of income that you can make in a corporation or in an investment is important now. What are the ideas that you have behind there?
Yeah, so a couple of ideas there as well. If you're looking at investments in the corporation, maybe there's investments that don't generate annual income. So maybe you're looking at equity portfolios that generate a capital gain. Capital gains are only 50% taxable. It would actually take $100,000 of realized gains in the corporation at 50% taxable rate to have $50,000 of passive income. Similarly, with equities, you may not sell them all every year. Hopefully you don't. So you have a buy and hold strategy where you're timing strategically your dispositions of those securities so you're not realizing income every year, putting you offside the passive investment rules.
Okay.
Let's talk about life insurance. You mentioned that in the article as well.
So again, for business owners that are looking to accumulate long-term capital that ultimately they may want to pass on to the next generations, corporately owned life insurance. Here we're talking about permanent insurance policies, whether it be what's called a universal life or a whole life policy. They have different investment strategies and components, can be a great asset of the corporation, because what the corporation's doing is it's moving income from the corporation into a tax-sheltered life insurance policy. All of the investment returns inside the policy, of course, are tax-sheltered, and this is reducing the amount of passive income that otherwise might be taxable. On death, the life insurance benefit pays out as a tax-free death benefit, and again, as I said earlier, can be paid out through a tax-free capital dividend to the shareholder.
Love it. Now, on the next segment, we're going to be talking about a couple of structures for business owners. One is what you mentioned in the article, individual pension plan. Let's touch on that really quickly.
Yeah, so an individual pension plan, again, is another solution for a business owner that wants to ramp up the amount that she can save for retirement. You might consider an individual pension plan, which is basically like a really good government-defined benefit plan for one person, or for one person and their spouse or partner. The corporation makes deductions into the pension plan, and again, at the same time, you're moving assets from the corporation into a separate trustee pension plan so that those assets are accumulating income on a tax-free basis inside the pension plan and are not included in the $50,000 passive income limitation. At the same time, you're also building up a substantial pool of assets that can be used later on to provide a defined benefit pension to the business owner.
So one last question before we have to get going for commercial break here. What are some of the questions that a business owner should be discussing with their investment and tax advisors to maximize these strategies?
I think the most important question is take a look at the investment portfolio and take a look at the corporation and their corporation year end and see how much passive income is being generated and whether or not you are concerned that if you have a large portfolio inside of a private company, you could be offside on the active business test starting next year. So again, it's this year's income that will determine your ability to claim the small business rate next year. So I'm thinking primarily of, you know, business owners that are accumulating large pools of retirement assets in their corporations, but that continue to have an active business. That could be an incorporated professional like a doctor, lawyer, or accountant, or it could be a small business owner that has excess assets that are not being used to operate the business.
And Jamie, maybe just finally, just so we can stress the impact of this, if you've got an active business still and you've got this big pool of savings capital that's built up inside your corporation, maybe just give us a summary or a quick explanation of the impact it's going to have on how business income is taxed.
Yeah, well, starting 2019, if you've got more than $50,000 of passive income, you start to lose the small business rate on a ratio of 5-1 till it's fully eliminated if your passive income is $150,000. So right now, we have a small business rate, very attractive rate, on the first $500,000 of active business income. If you start to hit more than $50,000 of passive income in the prior year, which is this year, the next year you start to grind down your access to the small business rate on a 5-1 ratio. That's why it's very important to pay attention to passive income for 2018 that could grind down your small business deduction for next year.
Jamie, thank you very much. We appreciate always you summing it up for us and making it understandable.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We've been joined by Jamie Golenbeck, who's the Managing Director, Tax and Estate Planning, CIBC Financial Planning and Advice. And, you know, Faisal, we've got a seminar coming up, and we talk about wealth in general, right? We talk about the four buckets for sure, but this is wealth in general. A corporation certainly is one of the assets that many of our clients have, and you've got to be savvy, tax savvy, and properly structured to make sure that you bulletproof that retirement.
I'm smiling because yesterday I posted on my personal Facebook page and so forth saying one of the biggest expenses you're going to have in retirement is taxes. And so this is very important. We're going to discuss this Tuesday, January 22nd, 7 p.m. at the Crowfoot Co-op Wine, Spirits, and Beer. You need to reserve your seats. So give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or register online by going to www.morethanmoneyradio.com.
You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.